Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Everybody, I want to do this talk here to let people understand where I stand on the word of our wonderful Creator and to confirm and tell everybody that the word of our Creator is not corrupt, but the heart of man is. And we will twist and try to change the word to go towards our feelings, our thinking, and our emotions. But the word stands solid regardless of what we believe or how we feel. And for a long time, men have been trying to take apart and change Scripture. But the word is clear that it is to not be changed. And our heart must know the will of the Father. And that is the good and perfect thing, as His holy word says. So I particularly had a strong foundation and have a strong foundation in the Bible. I know that there are people that died to get this word in my hands. The very word I'm reading today is no different than the words that these people died for to get it in my hands in my own language so I could read it. And I feel really strong and passionate about the history of how I was able to get these scriptures in my hand. However, more recently, I started to have a softening opinion about the word of the Bible and if it had been changed or not. And I'm going to tell you why and show you the conclusion I came up with and the repentance I had to do to ever question the solid word of our Creator that is the same and will be the same. And we're going to talk about that here today. There are two scriptures that made me question the truth of Scripture. And I want to talk about these, and then I want to also get into the truth about Scripture. So the first scripture was 1 Samuel 15:3. In 1 Samuel 15:3, it says, "Now go and attack Amalek, and utterly destroy all they have, and do not spare them, but kill both men and women, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." I could not come to understand why our Creator would say this and allow innocent children to die. But as I prayed about this and thought about this more and was not able to come up to a conclusion, I can only come up with the conclusion maybe this was corrupted Scripture. The other scripture that made me question the authenticity of Scripture was Proverbs 12:10. "A righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel." A righteous man regards the life of his animal. But when I see Scripture, I see our Creator telling them to destroy, kill, and murder tons of animals. So, the only conclusion I can come up with since I didn't understand this was, this must have been added to Scripture. So, these are two things that I have found that was added to Scripture that I could not agree with, and I was confused. When it says the righteous man regards the life of his animal, I had to think about this and think about the idea that our Creator never wanted or was never pleased with the animal sacrifice. And if that's the case, why would He allow it in His Scriptures, in His Holy Word? Scriptures, interpretations emphasize Yah's preference for a repentant heart and a life of obedience over ritual. Why the Torah law prescribed animal sacrifice for atonement? There are many passages, particularly from the prophets and later on from the New Testament, that indicate that Yah was never pleased with those particular ideas of animal sacrifice. Instead, the system was a temporary means to foreshadow the final ultimate sacrifice of Yeshua, a wonderful Messiah, which fulfilled the need for these offerings. So now I could justify maybe this was just a temporary thing because of man's disobedience, that Yah had to take it to the idea of a covenant level and the blood of an animal sacrifice. So now I could justify this one. But we have a tendency as humans to question our Creator when we don't agree or feel the way He wants us to feel. We can reason these things in our own mind to make us feel good about something, that something's going on, or to make us feel okay with these things. But still, I couldn't justify First Samuel 15:3. There is no way I could see a loving Creator command this. I looked at it and I prayed about it and I couldn't figure it out. And because of that and these two ideas of our Creator allowing the animal sacrifices and 1 Samuel 53 where He commanded all the people to be slaughtered, even the innocent little children, I came up in my own mind with the idea that Yah's scriptures had to be corrupted. And I was wrong for doing so. I should have been patient. And just because my prayers weren't being answered, just because my investigations weren't being satisfied, I should never question the word of scripture that I create my faith upon so highly. I read the Fox's Books of Martyrs and hold with high esteem the value of scripture that man had died to get in my hands that has not changed. For me to question that, shame on me. And shame on anyone that would question the word of scripture because they don't understand it. Our Creator is a loving Creator who wants the best for us always. And He doesn't want innocent people to suffer. He certainly doesn't want innocent people or animals to be murdered and killed. But why does His scripture say this? Well, two things happened to make me come to see and understand 1 Samuel 15:3. The first thing was the war that's taken place in Israel. Now, Israel's always been in war for a very long time, but the war with the terrorist group Hamas is a different story. It's a higher level. It's happening right now. And what we see is Israel put into a situation where they felt they had no choice in their governmental choice of how they were going to handle this, but to go in on an offense and destroy and get rid of Hamas. And in doing so, many innocent people were going to die. Many innocent children and women included were going to die. Now, if you agree with their approach or not, that is not the point of this lecture here. The point is to understand they had a valid argument to support or a valid reason to go in and do something where innocent people were going to die. And in war, innocent people die. My heart goes out to every single person that suffers from violence, from disasters around the world, and everything. Even people that are guilty, my heart goes around to people that suffer. My issue with what Israel did and how they handled this thing was they didn't pray about it. At least it wasn't publicly known, as far as I know, that they prayed to Yah about how they should proceed. So they went in and they did something where innocent people were going to die. But Yah didn't give them those instructions. They did this on their own emotions or their own strategic war stories. In the scriptures, it was prayed about before they went to war. Yah may still would have told them to do it if they did go that way and asked Him first. Even though, regardless, innocent people were going to die. But we have all this information now about these innocent people dying. We have the emotional understanding of what happened on October 7th because we were able to see it with our own eyes, so we could have more compassion in their choice they made. So this is why I say 100% of the people will not disagree with what they did, and there are many that will. But since we had more information, we can come to some understanding of why they did this. With 1 Samuel 15:3, we didn't have all that information. We had a lot of information from the scriptures of who the Amalekites were and how and why they needed to be destroyed. And Yah knew they needed to be destroyed completely. We had all this information that the scriptures gave us, but we didn't have what we had today. So there's no way, as a believer, we can understand why Yah would say to do this, other than to trust that Yah had the information. He knows the past, present, and the future. And either way, Yah told them to do this. Also, if you question 1 Samuel 15:3 like I did, then you also have to question every situation in the scriptures where innocent people were killed as a result of the disobedience and the wickedness of the people of that land, including the times of Noah's Ark, and the flood that took place. I am sure there are a lot of innocent children that took place when that flood came. As people question 1 Samuel 15:3, I don't see people questioning Noah's Ark and the flood. But a lot of innocent children had died. Also, if you question 1 Samuel 15:3, you got to question the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of wicked people died, but I'm sure there were innocent children in that town too that died. I still questioned it, but I finally come to the conclusion that even if I don't understand it, we shouldn't change Yah's words and have to accept it. And maybe the understanding would come clear. To even suggest that Yah's word has been changed is just so wicked of me, and I repent of this. I changed my thinking of this. I explained to you why I felt this way. But my foundation since the beginning of me becoming a believer has been on scripture. And I will not put anything above the words of our Creator. But this is why I have. Now, translations may be different, but the meaning of scripture has never been changed. It's never been changed from Genesis all the way to Revelation. The translations may say things in a different way, but the meaning has never been changed. Scripture is scripture. Anything beyond that is of man. Proverbs 30 verse 6 says, "Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." Deuteronomy 4 verse 2 says, "You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take away from it, that you may keep the commandments of our Creator, Yahweh, that I command you." And Matthew 4, 4. "But he answered, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of our wonderful Creator." The scriptures, the power of the scriptures, and my favorite, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, Job 23, verse 11 to 12. "My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and not turned aside. I have not departed from his commands of his lips. I have treasured his words, the words of his mouth, more than my necessary food." That word necessary means everything in there. That means when Job wrote this, he was saying the words of our Creator are more important than his own life, because that necessary food was to sustain his physical life. But the words of our Creator are more important, and this is why it's my favorite scripture, because that's how I feel. His word is everything. His word is written to us. It's given to us, and people literally died so we can have it in our own language today. Matthew 24, verse 35 says, heaven and earth will pass, but my words will not pass away. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all scripture is breathed out of Yah and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correctiveness, and for training in righteousness, that man of Yah may be complete, equipped for every good work. You see what it says? It says all scripture is breathed. All, not some, not the ones we agree with, not the ones we feel are okay, not the ones we figured out, but all are given to us, given to us for the good work. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares our wonderful Creator, plans for good and for not for disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope. His word, every part of his word, is to give us a future and a hope. And you may question, how can innocent people being killed at the command of Yah give us hope? Well, Yah knew the past, and he knows the future, and he knows what he needs to do and what needs to be done to secure our future. The foundation of my faith has always been on the word of our Creator. And again, I repent. I change my thinking for even thinking that this has been touched or corrupted by man. These were inspired, holy people that put these scriptures together. And shame on us for questioning that or thinking that is not true. Everything we need to know, past, present, and future, is found right there in the word. If you want to read extra things to kind of get a better understanding of these things, go right ahead, but never elevate those things above these things. Never change the words of our wonderful Creator. I recommend people look at the history of Scripture and how we got it today, and maybe you'll develop the passion that I've always had for this. We have to be honest and admit we don't know everything, and it's okay. Yah doesn't want us to know everything. We have to have faith and trust in the Bible. If the Bible says it, we have to believe it, and that's it. Nothing beyond that. He says it, we believe it. We'll figure it out later. Just like when Yeshua said, follow me. They got up and they followed him. They didn't have to investigate it. They trusted it on faith. And I believe as we develop this strong foundation of Scripture, our Creator will give us a better understanding of Scripture and reveal things to us. All of Scripture is really a historical record of what Yah was revealing to his people, his people. Those that took it to seek it and obeyed it. He hides his truth from those that think different. Those that deny it, he hides it. But to those that relish it and uphold it and see the importance of it, he reveals even more to them. We see this principles in Yeshua's ministry. When the Jewish leaders began to actively reject and resist Yeshua, he began preaching in parables or riddles. So only those who are really seeking the truth would find it in what Yeshua was teaching. That's when he said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear, in Matthew 13:9. Only those who are actively listening and seeking were able to get it and allowed to get it. That's the thing. When our heart is open to understanding and trusting and believing in faith in the power of the word, that's when Yah has opened the eyes. Our heart becomes open and Yah opens our eyes to see the truth of Scripture. But he keeps it from those who aren't ready to receive it. This is why Yeshua was teaching in parables. Remember, when it comes to man, knowledge is the goal. Man wants to figure things out. The smarter we are, the harder it is we can comprehend what the scriptures say. Because it just can't make sense to the human mind that animals can talk, that miracles can happen, people can be rose from the dead and everything else. Our human mind can't comprehend that. So it's harder for the worldly educated to come to figure this out. But we have to understand, knowledge isn't the goal of Scripture. Obedience is the goal of Scripture. And then the knowledge will be given to us. Yah chooses to reveal things to us when He is ready to reveal these things. These things would serve no purpose to us if we're not obeying or following Him. Deuteronomy 29:29 is a key verse that we need to understand. It says, secret things belong to Yah, our Elohim. But those that are revealed belong to us and our descendants forever, so that we might understand all the words of the Torah. If Yah hasn't revealed something to us yet, to you yet, to me yet, in these answers of what I was trying to get, that's not for me to jump ship and say, well, the word must be wrong. If I don't understand something Yah says, that's not for me to say, well, the word must be wrong. It must have been changed, or it must have been misinterpreted or written wrong. No, it's for me to be patient and on faith and continue to pray about it and wait for it and having an open heart to trust Yah's word is true. Yah's word tells us itself in Psalms 84:11. He withholds no good thing from those who have integrity. His word is a good thing. Those with integrity will come to see His truth. As believers, our integrity comes from Yahshua, our wonderful Messiah. The knowledge that Yah withholds from the non-believers are because they're not ready to receive it. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5 says, therefore judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until Yah comes. He will bring to light what he has hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of man's heart. And that time each will receive his praise from Yah. Ecclesiastes 12:14 says, for Yah will bring every deed into judgment, along with every hidden thing, whether good or evil. And Hebrews 4:13 says, nothing in all creation is hidden from Yah's sight. Everything is uncovered and exposed before the eyes of Him whom we must give account. And then finally, we look at Daniel 2:22. It says, He reveals the deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him. Job 12:22 says, He reveals the deep things in darkness and brings deep shadows into light. And then after obtaining all this in prayer and repenting and to say, why would I question our wonderful Creator and what He has offered? And to think about all these different things, finally, the answer about 1 Samuel came to me. I saw a video of somebody who was explaining the possibility of these scriptures. And it came to understand that it's not definite, but it's plausible that the language that was spoken at that time, was in fact different than the language we have today, but we do things in a certain way. So if one team says, oh, another team slaughtered them, meaning they beat them, you know, if we're not thinking about the idioms and what was used back then, we would say, why did they slaughter them? Why did they allow this team to be slaughtered? But we know that just means to beat them, or they were victorious. Well, back then, when Yah told them to wipe out every last one of the Amaleks, often this was used in scripture in a time of war and in speech. Wipe out meant to destroy that particular camp. And a good confirmation of this can be that even after this time, when supposedly the last Amalek was wiped out, or in other times where He told them to wipe out a complete generation of people later in scripture, more of those people are found. We see this even with Yah wiping out the sons of Korah, and then later they are found. So the idea of wiping out and destroying everyone may have been they weren't all destroyed. And Yah didn't mean to destroy them all, only destroy those guilty ones. Now this seems to me like it could be a very plausible or possible outcome of what is happening, or what has happened. Maybe, maybe not. But at least after understanding more, or at least repenting and not questioning the word of our Creator, I was able to get some answers revealed to me about the possibility of this. So when thinking about this and thinking about these things, let's go and look at this. Revelations 1:1 to 1:20. The revelation of Yahshua, our Messiah, which Yah gave him to show to his servants the things that must soon take place. To show, to reveal to his servants. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. He sent his angel to his obedient servant who trusted him on faith, who bore witness to the word of Yah. He brought witness, John, to the word of Yah. And the angel came and revealed information to him of the testimony of Yeshua, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it. To hear and to keep. Remember, Yeshua said, those that have ears to hear will hear. And then those that are obedient will keep his word. His words are more important than my life. And that's what it says. For the time is near, John said to the seven churches that are in Asia. Grace to and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us of our sins by his blood. Hallelujah. John 8:31-32 says, so Yeshua said to the Jewish people who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Thank you for listening. You can hear the rest of this talk at the YouTube channel Torah Life Ministries. Have a blessed day. Come
out of the world. You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.